Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Did you know when the body is balanced, it heals itself? This is the guiding principle of Dr. Mark Armstrong. Dr. Mark is the founder of Ahimki Center for Wholeness. Ahimki is a wellness center that offers services and training programs that help you grow yourself. Ahimki is a word which symbolizes our commitment to honor the sacredness of all life and our respect for the vital force that flows through all living creatures. We seek to teach and heal, and thereby express our love for mankind, the earth, and the infinite universe. Ahimki Center for Wholeness services include acupressure, foot detoxification, Reiki, iridology, massage, Ahimki Mind Management, which is a process that uses the natural rhythms of the body to balance the mind. It enables total well-being and getting the thinking out of the way so the brainstem can do its work, and much more. For more information, visit ahimki.net. That's ahimki.net. Ahimki Center for Wholeness, honoring the ancient practice of energy medicine.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Try life anew to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be. If you wanna be
this week about life here on earth and our human family with Russell Washington, who is back once again to share his valuable insights, knowledge, wisdom, his walking wisdom. If you like last week, okay, stick around because you're going to love this show this week. Welcome back to the playground, Russell.
It is so good to be back. Good to be back.
Yay! Yes, indeed. So for those who weren't at the other show, can you just give them just a little bit about Russell Washington, please?
Well, I am an Ascension actor. My specialty is holistic systems design. I've been helping people for nearly 3 decades achieve their wellness goals, their peak performance goals, and I've been instructing people in advanced methods of natural cultivation throughout that whole time. I'm formally trained in the sciences and have had many apprenticeships in holistic mind-body modalities and the whole nine. And what I bring to the table now is a unique system for personal ascension called AET, Awareness Expansion Training. And I train AET operators.
I like that. It sounds technical, but it also sounds like, well, they're in control. Those, you see those people over there? Look at that group. Look at that group over there. They are in control of what's going on, man. They look like they got some power. Speaking of power, how do you feel? We're continuing to talk about life on Earth, the human family. Do you feel, let me not say how, but do you feel that the human family is in any crisis? Because we hear it all the time.
Yes, I do feel as though we're at a crossroads.
Crossroads. I like that word.
At a major point of crisis. But my perspective on these types of things, and it's not just an old Chinese proverb, but it is often the great opportunity when one faces a mortal challenge. And so I'm confident and trusting that the same thing it holds true for us collectively, 7 billion strong. Here's the thing, though. When one faces a profound challenge that has mortal consequences, the mind tends to flip towards one of two extremes, towards unconsciousness and panic, or to coherence and super consciousness.
Mm.
And basically, training makes the difference. There are some people who are spontaneously able to slip into that super conscious coherent state, which we call the zone, and that kind of stuff. But given the cultural conditions that we live in, a lot of people are going to be conditioned towards panic, fear, regret, worry, those kinds of things.
Okay, so you're just saying that's like the difference between, you know, two different types of people who are dealing with the same situation. Like it's something like all of a sudden a bomb happened on the street.
Yeah.
One person goes into one state and the other person goes into the other. I got you.
Exactly. And it's not necessarily types of people, but quality of training and development.
Mm-hmm. More people are carrying the training, you know. So I'm saying, just for the sake of the audience understanding.
Okay.
So, you know, when you talk about the kind of thing, you know, what do you feel about, you know, have we underestimated our personal power?
Oh, yes. And that's the age of our sleeve if we only knew it was there. When it comes to every domain of human endeavor, I believe we have underestimated our capacity. But if we distill it down to its essence, we have essentially misidentified the nature of our nature.
All right, now let me turn this music down.
Got a little something for nature.
Okay, come on with it. We have underestimated the nature of our nature. What does that mean?
That means en masse. I mean, there are many people, probably not so many people on a show like this, probably not people in your audience, but in general, we're conditioned all over to almost worship our inadequacies. And we are conditioned to have an almost perfect conviction in our inherent evilness, our iniquities, and every aspect of our worthlessness.
Mm.
And I'm saying it that way just to paint it raw. You know.
Yeah, I want you to do. We do raw. I love raw. Look. I don't want you cooking it. I want you to give it to us raw. I love raw today. I'm on a raw food diet.
Yeah. I'm too much. So, what is that? I mean, that changes our way of approaching every consideration. And so, in the work, we say in the work of AET, we say that the truest plague, the only plague that we really suffer, is an absolute conviction in our own impotence. When you boil all that down,
what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that?
Our own powerlessness, relative powerlessness.
A conviction in being powerless.
Yes, I say conviction because it's not even a belief.
Okay.
It's beyond belief for most people.
Mm-hmm.
And even folks who are like, sometimes on the path and doing their work, they're trying to overcome that when there's nothing really to overcome in that.
Okay.
You know, sometimes
you said they're trying to overcome it. What are they trying to overcome and doing?
Overcome this conviction in their own impotence. You know, without realizing that your power is there for you to draw on already. You don't have to fight for it.
And that's an interesting point, because what kind of ways, what kind of examples of people fighting for? What does that look like on a daily basis?
Ooh. Well, we can't beat what's going on in the national government in the United States right now as an example of parties committed to their own impotence and inadequacy, doing the dance of one-upmanship, not realizing that their personal power is intact. They've been put in power and given a mandate to cooperate in a way that if they could see past their own fear, the decisions that the American people are hoping that they will make will benefit everybody. It hasn't happened yet, so let me give you an example. When the civil rights movement came along, there was a tremendous amount of resistance. And when you look at the argument that white supremacists were making, they were all about the fear that they would disappear as a race.
Okay.
That their influence would be diminished. That their power, and this is mostly, I'm talking about rank and file white supremacists, not the people who were, not their 1% back in the day. What we learned is that once the law shifted and people began to cooperate with equitable distribution of resources in the law, it benefited everybody. And that wasn't predicted by the people who thought they would lose.
Okay.
They were shocked that the fair treatment for that group of people wound up benefiting everybody.
Hmm.
So that's a simple example from the past. When we look at the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, everybody agrees, every person of influence in the world of diplomacy and militarism who has spoken authoritatively on that conflict agrees that there's one solution. Those people must share that land. That's an answer.
Sure.
That's a solution from kindergarten, right? But what is lacking is the fear around their interpretation that they are the promised people.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you want to say that. Go now.
the thing is, if you believe being the promised people means that the childish kind of, that means that I get special favors and daddy looks after me better than everybody else and I get to lord it over, that's one way of being a chosen one, right? But what if being a chosen person means that what the Creator has given you is to be held in trust for the benefit of all people, and the fear of being with others goes away. But because they're trying to sequester it and grab it for themselves and because they don't get the power of their own blessing, they're fighting.
Okay. Which brings me to what do you view power as being about then? What's the essence of it? I know you touched on it just now, but can you bring it out all the way, please?
Well, I keep it really simple, and maybe I just took two courses in physics. But I take my thing about power directly from the physics, the ability to get work done over time.
Say it again, please.
The ability to get work done over time, over a duration. Like
the ability to get work done.
Work.
Okay.
To get to work, get it done over time, over a continuous, a duration of work, period of time. So if you take a light bulb and look at the top of it, it's going to have a number in the abbreviation for kilowatt hours. A kilowatt is a measure of work. A kilowatt is a measure of work. A watt is a measure of work. 1,000 watts is 1,000 units of work. Right? And an hour is a unit of time. Work by time is power. That's how we measure power in light bulbs. That's how we measure power in ourselves. So the essence of quality in power gets down to the quality of work and the efficiency of time.
Okay.
And our relationship to each moment.
Okay. And how does creative expression fit into that releasing of power?
Creative expression is the essence of our true nature.
Mm, okay.
You know, if there are people who acknowledge the existence of a creative force, a creator, that sort of thing, but no matter what discipline you come from, for the most part, in terms of theological orders, spiritual orders, the creator has represented itself and has been, or let me say, the creative force or the creator itself has been represented to have said that its primary function is creative expression, is creativity.
Yes.
All the time, yes. Everywhere. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And okay. And if we are that, the most fundamental quality that we have is our ability to be creative with a capital C, because when we say it with the capital C, it includes destruction as well, creation and destruction going hand in hand.
So, you know, with that in mind, what would you say the, how is our, well, let me just ask straight, how is our sexual essence related to our creative expression?
It is to our creative expression what the roots of a large tree are to the existence of an entire tree.
Wow. Well, that's pretty powerful. So what's the power of sex be in itself then?
Say again?
So the power of sex then, in the sexual essence is that in the actual action, the actual act. How does that fit in with the power?
That's a good question. In a couple of ways, in the most fundamental way, and it goes from subtle to fundamental to very subtle, but in intercourse, the actions of the male and female in this particular case, we're going to talk about male and female because that's my best reference point at this point. That emulates the action of an engine, of a motor. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
From ancient times, this idea of coupling opposites. An activity.
When you say coupling opposites, you mean male and female, or?
In this case, I mean male and female, yeah, but, you know, we can talk about other options because as human beings, we have a creative variation in ourselves that allows us to emulate the action of creation in, like jazz, with we can riff on it, you know what I'm saying? But the story of how we came to be involved, the fusion of opposites, do we know this all work from the yin-yang and all the other ancient traditions up to now, okay? And the act of copulation is a passion play which reenacts the original act of creation.
So when you talked about just now the opposites in terms of male and female, it could be in terms of the act you're talking about female, whomever, right? You're not just saying it has to be.
You know, the Taoists came up with a solution to that many, many years ago. And they taught people who were oriented towards members of their own to create that balance interaction between them. And a lot of times you see that in couples. You see a couple that is more yinned out, and one is more yinned out, and one is more yanged out, or the balance within themselves. And that's one of the reasons why it's important. When a person comes into an interpersonal relationship, that they come as a whole being, having accomplished that inner marriage of their archetypal male and female, and then what you do, how you like to do it, that's just the jazz of it then.
Right. Which, because I wanted you to touch a little bit about that, the gender issues, the sexuality issues that we have, it's prevalent right now, you know, I speak a little bit about that because
issues go back quite a few thousand years, and what we spoke about in one of the other conversations is that overall there are shifts in the soup of forces that we live and move through and that move and live through us. And, you know, we as human beings are maturing to the point where we learn, where we know how to manage them. Up to now, we spend a lot of time being at the effect of every random force, cosmic and otherwise, that came along. Right? And this, this is in interpersonal relationships, this is in interracial relationships, this is in intergender relationships. And so there's been this pendulum swing back and forth between archetypal masculine influences that are heavy and archetypal feminine influences that are heavy. And both males and females will respond to that in kind, almost like a Pied Piper's, like responding to a Pied Piper's whistle. But we're learning through all kinds of measures to be who we are fundamentally despite outward appearances. We're learning to access
to be
our
who we are
fundamentally
can you say that
despite
again?
Outside. We're learning through a lot of different means to be who we are despite outward appearances. We used to define ourselves. Our identities used to be tied to what kind of genitals you have, what kind of job you have, what you said, what you did, what you thought. What we're learning more and more is that none of that is our absolute identity. Those are conditional identities which may or may not be useful. We relate to one another. When we relate to one another based on our fundamental essence as a primal human, as fundamentally primal, pure human essence to pure human essence. Who you are as a gender is incidental.
Absolutely.
Who you are as a profession is incidental. The thing that you thought, the thing that you said is incidental. And I can relate to it. I might have to respond to it, but I don't have to respond to it from my emotional self. I can just respond to it as required.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, yes, indeed. Go ahead. So,
we're
coming
to the end of this. I think this might be the last. I mean, the gender war is quite has been raging since, you know, just pre-Greco-Roman times, from what my estimate is. But I think as we're coming out of a need to respond to one another that way, you know, and some of that workshop, some of that, the crucible of that is happening in many parts of the world, but a lot of it is happening right in the United States, where there's an appreciation for discourse and conflict. And there's a greater opportunity to have a clash of ideas that can lead to a harmonious resolution, as it's sort of different from other parts of the world. Now, this is not to say that the other parts of the world aren't doing it, but we have a constitution that's based on liberty and justice in the United States that when it sinks in, it allows us to do democratic change in a different way than we see in other parts of the world, where our conflicts get reduced to just a clash of ideas rather than a clash of steel. Now, the forces at work trying to help us unlearn that and to keep us from perfecting that, because we haven't by any means perfected it. You know, we're not even close. That's really the destiny of this particular Commonwealth that's different from others, that the democratic process isn't connected to any identity but the ideal of greater liberties, which is the freedom to choose among options.
And that is, yes, absolutely. And to what? I'm sorry?
And to justice. True justice,
okay.
not punishment per se.
Indeed, yes, indeed. I know what kind of justice you're talking about. this is just absolutely so rich and so much. I mean, it's really a time for this kind of conversation, and I'm so excited to be having it with you. I mean, you're pulling out stuff. Some things I know you knew that you knew, but some things you are bringing it home, and I am just smiling wide over here. My face is cracked. I am so tickled. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with more of Russell dropping it like it's hot. And when we come back, I'm going to ask you some questions about when people get stuck and sick and how this expression can assist them. So
all right.
I'll be right back.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. To the community. To the community. To the community. To the community.
It's not always easy to see what is coming at you, or better yet, for you. You need someone in your corner who can help you navigate those blind spots. Life Coach Today has a unique ability to guide you toward clarity with compassionate coaching and an amazing sense of humor. As a coach for over 15 years, Life Coach Today has been working closely with people and freeing them to live their best life. If you are in a spot where your best friend's advice or family member's tips are not working for you, you want to step onto the playing field of life with a coach who will walk with you and support you in tapping into the best in you. When you are done with Life Coach Today, you will be the change you want to see. We'll give you practical tools to finally embrace all of you and empower you to step into your greater yet to be. For a 45 minutes complimentary session, email Life Coach Today at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. That's ASK@LIFECOACHADE.com or call 678-561-0607. That's 678-561-0607. Be still, listen, and be transformed.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Yes, and we're back. Russell, are you back with me?
I am here.
Yes, wonderful. I am so happy that you're here because I have a question for you.
Right.
Okay. I know you've heard of the pregnancy. Well, I know you've heard of it. Because your mama is who your mama is. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Why are people still getting stuck, sick, et cetera, when that is something that everybody is pretty much aware of?
Uh-huh.
From their grandmama or their mama.
Yeah. It's a common refrain in the Islamic tradition and in the New Testament Christian tradition. And also from the Gnostic Western perspective, and also in Kabbalism. So even if you're Jewish and that kind of thing,
everybody's heard of it.
Kabbalah, pretty much. The conventional thinking is what they call dualistic. There is a belief that that dualistic style of thinking was brought to the scriptural understanding all the way from pagan times. You know, when we look at how the modern religion interpolates scripture, there are filters that most people aren't aware of that predate their particular discipline and go all the way back to pagan times, the idea of an individualized, personified, humanoid-looking God that is represented to look like your grandfather or that person's grandfather, and a place out there in heaven that's an idea from, you know, between 7,000 and 10,000 years ago.
Okay.
It's a very, very durable idea, and it has some satisfying resonances for people who aren't necessarily having what they would call a good experience living in the world as it is. There's the slave mentality says, let me escape from this. because I can't stand it and I don't have the power to change it. There must be something better. Now, you know, I used to run
outside of this world.
Outside of this world, you know. And you know, I would ask people regularly, how long do you want to live? You know, I said, I'm ready for this to be over because there must be something better than this. I don't ask everybody. Suddenly, you know, so old folks, especially if they are beginning to feel the ravages of age, or younger people if they've had a difficult time or a challenging time in life, and also feel powerless to experience any other way of living, long for something which is totally different from what they're experiencing. Also, long-term conditioning. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and that's like the concept of heaven and you know, going somewhere to pearly gates and stuff like that. You know, all of that kind of, okay, so you're saying, okay, keep going.
Because
I really want to know about this power thing and expression with this.
Well, what we've talked about in the past, you and I, is the idea that if I were a physician, I were to say to you that you have within you, you're going to give birth within you as a young child that will be born. You wouldn't go all over the world trying to find it. You would definitely go about the process of allowing your system to gestate that child with full anticipation that you would do everything in your power to cooperate with the externalization of that child. So the scripture that says, which appears in nearly every religious doctrine on the planet, that the kingdom of heaven is within, to me would be the good news that says, oh, my task now is to externalize that. And I have the feminine archetype to show me what that looks like. But to get there,
when
you
say the feminine archetype, can you break that down for some people?
The archetype that says when the idea is seeded, it grows in a quiet, safe place and gets externalized, like we see all female expressions do. As the human family, we are that heavenly bride, you see. To use the Gnostic phraseology, and the idea has been seeded in us. So the frantic grasping for some other place may be inappropriate to our actual task, which should be in this, you know, just externalizing that which we have been told is within us. So what does that mean in practical terms is getting to work and generating a world that works harmoniously towards the abundance of life.
Right.
And
we do that through our creative
that
expression.
Our power. Yes. You know.
So we do it through our
also,
creative expression, though.
Well, not just with that. There has to be proper aspiration, too, because it took a lot of creative force to generate all the to create all the nuclear weapons we have.
Okay.
Yeah? I mean, it was a profoundly creative endeavor. Wasn't it?
Oh, yes, it was. I'm sorry. I thought you said another word. I was waiting for you to finish the sentence. I was like, where'd he go?
So when we dispel our worry, regret, fear, and resistance, we make way for a true appreciation of our nature, and authentic aspirations will come to us which are harmonious with life.
Okay.
And that's harmony with a capital H, because resonance and dissonance are part of harmonious structures, yes? You know, by dissonance I mean that, remember the Ella Fitzgerald commercial where she sang and the glass shattered?
Yeah.
We are in the time of the shattering glass. It is important for us to know how to use appropriate
it.
Destruction.
Right.
The structures which life is asking for us to dismantle.
But
if we are ignorant of that, or if we ignore the opportunity, or if the opportunity to dismantle certain things frightens us, it will be done for us in a haphazard way. And what I mean haphazard destruction, I'm talking about war. I'm talking about pandemonium.
Okay. You know, I mean, and so with the taste of people being stuck and sick, et cetera, you know, all of that, you know, it seems as if they're stuck because they're not using that which they're given, you know, that power that we're talking about. You know, how do you see people, you know, their viewpoint of suffering, death and dying? I know we're still talking about the sexual aspect of things as well, but how do you see that all? The way that people see it.
Well, we're generally kooky about, you know, sex, death, and money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are nuts when it comes to those two areas. And when it comes to where, if we were on a quest to dispel our resonance with fear and resistance, and by resistance I mean regret and worry. All right. We want to look in those areas. We want to have it dispelled in those areas to get a lot of mileage out of the least push. That's where you want to push. Okay. You don't have to go through everything that ever bothers you about it, because there's techniques to use to relieve oneself of the fear and resistance without, you know, having to go through your whole life story.
Mm-hmm.
But we have miseducated ourselves about those three areas. Death
is
very scary to a lot of people, and we have seized on the opportunity to make it even scarier. A lot of our stories are filled with Fangora, and we masturbate over the horrors of death in religious circles and in entertainment circles. A lot of scientific endeavors are about the fear of, you know, a lot of the longevity research and things like that are about a horror about death. Okay?
Yeah.
So we do require a realignment and a new perspective in that. We talked in the last week about, you know, some of the things that we misunderstand about sex. But they're so closely related.
And this brings me to this question. Where do you feel life wants us to take sex at this time? I know that might be an interesting one, but yeah. And it's another
part. I hear the structure of your question. So let me let the audience know. On Bosses used to hear me ask what is life calling for? There are very sex positive movements going on, and some of them. Remember when some of us went to college and they had remedial math or remedial English for people. A lot of the tantra and neo tantra and sacred sexuality conversations, in my opinion, are about remedial, about the same quality as remedial math and English. They're bringing people up to speed, because so few of us have given ourselves permission to experience profound pleasure. But that's a big holy grail for a lot of people. But
that's funny right there. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, that's already two bars behind the maestro.
Remedial sex education done by tantra and neo-tantra.
And I know a lot of people would argue, because the whole idea of, you know, this is how you find God, I mean, that's what they were doing 7,000 years ago, giving themselves permission. So what if, you know, just if we were using the same computers that were being used at IBM in the 1960s, our computers would be filling up whole rooms and all that kind of stuff. But we have, the computer today that's that powerful fits on the head of a dime. I mean, head of a pen, almost. You can get a computer as powerful as one in 60s that can fit on the head of a pen.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at what is the next evolutionary transformation? It is the ability to use the wavefronts that are generated when ecstatic forces are unleashed to do work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
as you know, in my work, I've been able to teach people how to spontaneously induce ecstatic ways without any external stimulation.
I want you to tell me about that. But I have a burning question that's really there. You know, this whole conversation we're having, you know, about life here on Earth, the human family, and what state we're in. You know, it really, and if anybody's just now tuning in, this is Russell Washington. He's totally bringing it home about the aspects of the things that we fear, the things that how we bring into, how we're using the power that we, it all relates back to the power that we have, we are underestimating, okay, about our life here on Earth. So I'm going to bring this back to impotence and frigidity. You know, when you talk about the sexual energy and the creative expression and those two aligning themselves in terms of creating, you know, and then I want you to take it into what you were just getting ready to say about how you sustain it outside of the relationship.
Yeah. There's a big challenge in world affairs, and some of it boils down to the fact that women are experiencing a crisis of frigidity and men are experiencing a crisis of impotence. And the source of that does get down to some of the points of dissatisfaction that we've been talking about and an unwillingness to accept the gift of profound pleasure, which is one of the reasons why that remedial sex education that's happening is going to benefit a lot of people. Okay.
The tantra and things like that.
Yeah, and just the whole awakening too, that this is, it's okay, it's not sinful to have desires and to see them exercised and brought out to the surface. But that's kindergarten for what life is calling for. And so it's possible to zoom through to the level of understanding that women are ahead of the curve compared to men in this particular case, in recognizing that there's a whole domain of orgasmic possibilities that at one time they were told were absolutely impossible. I mean, you don't have to go very far back in history to hear medical doctors and sexologists declare that it's impossible for women to orgasm, period. Now we know that women can orgasm continuously over extended periods of time, hours, if she so chooses. We know that women have the ability to spontaneously release fluids that we call ejaculatory fluids, or female ejaculate at peak moments throughout that period, okay? And there are people who are reveling in that as the quintessential expression of female sexuality. And, of course, it's a stepping stone towards what's next and what's greater. Men are even a little further behind. Most men still need to learn that the ejaculation and the orgasm are two separate events which have been collapsed on one another, and it's believed that the ejaculation is the orgasm, and so when the man ejaculates, he tends to lose his sexual potency. Okay? So what we talked about at one, but you've heard me talk on this, is that what men need to learn is the same thing that toddlers need to learn. When it comes to physical self-control, we teach toddlers in a very natural way that they must control their evacuations. And the toddler discovers that, hey, I can actually control this, and it's no problem. And it becomes effortless for me to time when I go to the restroom so that I don't have to embarrass myself with someone else coming to change my diapers. At the next level of evolution, the male learns, hey, I can allow give myself permission to have extraordinary pleasure while maintaining my potency, my erection, and I can share my vital essence, my semen, when I choose.
Yeah.
For the most part, it's a little bit like surfing. You know, you don't always control the waves per se, but you learn how to ride them. Okay. And so we're not talking about coryza or just withholding the ejaculation. We're talking about actually separating the ejaculatory response from the orgasmic response so that we now have a situation where both men and women can learn to induce an orgasmic response in themselves, ultimately, spontaneously, on command, and then use mm-hmm. that orgasmic wave flow that they create to channel it through any part of their body or transmit it through space-time.
Absolutely. And,
so,
and is that the state of euphoria that you were talking about earlier?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it doesn't always translate into euphoria. I mean, once it gets rarefied into its vital electric form, in what we were talking about before, yes, it does feel like an orgasm. But when you send it through that cyclotron, when you send it through that amplifier in your body, through presence and back, it takes on the effect of electric. It's hard to describe. It doesn't necessarily feel like happiness or an orgasm the way we traditionally think of one in something you sexualize.
Yeah.
It just feels like pure power.
Okay, I was going to say something, and I am going to say it. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I couldn't help it. So anyway, so you were going to talk about how
no
to hold it. What did you say?
She has no control.
I'm saying. But anyway, when you're talking about teaching people, because we have a few minutes left, and I want to make sure we get all of it, because this whole conversation is about a better quality of life here on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to save, recycle your thing and your everything, and recycle and have solar panels. But it's also good to have this insight to be able to use this power that you came here with. So that's what we're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case anybody just can't. So how can this state be induced without any physical stimulation, if it can? And then how can you sustain it?
Okay. The sustaining part is something that, you know, it's like, you sustain it for as long as you want, but it can be induced. The process is, it depends on the person and where they're coming from and how far back they're coming from. But the training is very basic. It's really about allowing the truth of it to sink in.
Okay. I heard that, yes.
So the conversation that leads to that ability is about an awakening to possibility and taking what was improbable and making it highly likely. And so there's a series of conversations I take people through, also allowing them to have shifts in their state of mind and
mm-hmm.
get in communion, deep communication with the cells of their body through every level.
Mm-hmm.
And so
okay.
it's more of an
okay.
allowing process. And I want, in the last minute, I want to make an announcement because I've decided to open up a class for your listeners and more so that we can really explore this. I'm going to so ask you the next question and give me just 30 seconds or so to announce.
Well, no, you have time to announce it. I just want to say that was exactly what I was going to ask you. Have you done a class? Because this is really, really, really relevant and important at this time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let you announce it now, and I definitely want people to give them your website, give them whatever contact they need to get in contact with you, because you're going to have it blow up here. People are going to come for you now.
Okay. So you can go to the Facebook page called Ascension Agenda, or my website, ascensionagenda.com, which thankfully we cleared all the glitches out and opened it, launched that on the 22nd. And for a few days after this show, I will withhold announcing it to the world at large because these things always fill up fast. Next month, for three consecutive Wednesdays starting on the 22nd, I'll be teaching the Sensual Ascension class, which will take you through all the steps that will allow you to go from becoming aware of these core abilities all the way through to being able to activate the luminous presence, the radiant presence. So from the transmutation of core sexual energy all the way through the processes of rarefaction, to the point where it manifests in your life as light and the ability to use it for the things that you choose for. You know, we've had people use it to, the story I told last week about the person who used it to realign their bones, that was a bonus to what that person was working on. But she did a tremendous amount of charging using this kind of technique, okay? And
May 22nd?
May 22nd, I'm sorry, 29th, and June 3rd.
Okay, May 22nd, May 29th, and June 3rd. Y'all mark that down, and they can get in touch with you.
It's a teleclass. It's a teleclass.
Oh, it's a teleclass.
It's 3-hour sessions. It will be intense. And people that fill out the forms and everything like that will get a customized program just for them, an audio program just for them. You know that, and so the class normally runs for $777. We're doing it for $333 for your people.
All right, 333. You heard it. Triple three. Go ahead and play that with some triple threes tonight, and you'll have your money. Don't get your money, honey.
We're only going to take 100 people in this class.
100 people. Okay. The first 100 people from this show. From this
playground. First 100 people, period.
Period.
But the reason why I'm announcing it today is because there will be at least 3 or 4 days before I make a global announcement about
okay.
it.
Okay. All right.
So even though the page is up, I haven't advertised it yet. I haven't sent it out.
Okay.
But next Monday, I will do a blast on Facebook. I'll do a blast through social media and get
okay.
it known. Okay.
Okay, so now that's Facebook, right? Did you give a website or you didn't?
The Facebook and the website have the same name. The website is Ascension Agenda. I'm sorry.
Ascension Agenda.
That's incorrect. Ascension Alliance.
Oh, Ascension Alliance.
Yeah.
.com. That should be fairly easy. AscensionAlliance.com. Okay.
And
all right.
The same
Woo.
Thing for the website. I mean, the same thing for the Facebook.
Same thing. Okay. Ascension Alliance, people. Ascension Alliance. All right.
You
if you have any problems, just email me at ombasa@ombasa.com, and I'll give you everything you need. I'll give you the goods. Russell.
These hours go by fast, don't they?
What did you say?
These hours go by fast.
I know, it's so fast. I mean, we got to go.
Audience.
All right, I love you, Russell. You have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful week. All righty. Much love. Thank you. All righty. Peace. Well, that just wraps it up for this month, y'all. We have had an absolute bizarre, and I am looking forward to next month where our focus is going to be. Dun, 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 dun. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to surprise you. I'll be back on that week, the next week, and I'll see you here on the playground. We're going to go out with the Purple Crown, the Purple Royal One, and he will be giving us Earth Day is Every Day, and you can find him on purplecrown.com. No, purplecrown.bandcamp.com, sorry. Much love, much love. The Ombasa out. Much peace.
Come on, as we walk through the land. There's so much to see.
See,
everything's growing like you and me. Flowers blooming, trees waving in the breeze. Birds way up in the sky, flying high and free.
Ooh, yeah.
From the mountain top, rivers flow to the plains. This is the way that life sustains. When the rain comes, nature starts to sing.
Uh-huh.
Celebrating Earth is a beautiful thing.
Celebrate Earth Day every day.
Come on,
every day.
Everybody sing this song.
Celebrate Earth Day every day.
Every day.
Everybody sing along.
From the city to the farm, this one Earth we share.
Uh-huh.
Come together. gather people from everywhere. Pachamama, Mother Gaia, she has so many names. It's from a fertile soil that everybody came. We love recycling, planting trees and going green. Driving less and biking more helps keep the air clean. Living in tune, what a joy it brings.
Oh, yeah.
Celebrating Earth is a beautiful thing.
Celebrate Earth Day every day.
Yeah.
Every day. Put your hands together. Celebrate Earth Day every day. Every day.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.